What is going on, guys? It's the Altered State Podcast. Brandon, John, episode 80. Yes.
There should be an 80. I should know an 80.
I got nothing for 80.
Why don't I have an 80?
Nothing.
I'm scanning my... Shit. I feel like I'm going to be real embarrassed by this one at some point.
Nothing popped in my head at all, so...
80, like... I feel like every, like, round number like that, someone of consequence used.
Maybe, you know? Maybe, yeah.
Like, I understand not having an 83.
Sure.
But an 80, I think I should have. I can't think of one.
Yeah. Good. You're on my level, then.
Yeah, fucking farts.
That's right. That's right. So what you got, man? What you feel like? What are you going to talk about today?
Oh, aside from just the... existential dread that I'm living in of possibly having to tear up this entire basement to
that will not be fun if that has
replace
to
a piece of pipe.
You won't. You don't know yet. Let's be positive about
if the universe can be a pal.
Yeah,
and come through for me. Your boy needs a win.
No shit.
Your boy needs a win.
No doubt. So what do you feel like getting into today?
Well, last week we did talk about the kind of the possibility of doing a little 2020 review, for lack of a better word, because like I don't want to do, like, I know in the past we've done like top tens and stuff,
right?
And I think more so than ever that's just kind of impossible.
Well, it was weird. I sat down and tried to do like a best of. It was like three things. I mean,
right.
I
have a good stack of things that I enjoyed, but right. I don't like. So I have the things that I wrote down. I broke down into like movies, podcasts, records, TV shows.
Sure.
My longest list is six things.
Yeah, that's longer than anything I got. That's about my total.
Like,
yeah.
And that's not even like six things that I loved. It's like these are the six things that I didn't really dislike.
Right.
You know, but it's like it wasn't.
That didn't shit the bed.
Yeah exactly. Yeah. Like it wasn't.
It wasn't good.
Yeah.
It wasn't good. It wasn't good.
It was a weird year.
Start where you want to start then.
So, if I'm thinking... I want to throw a movie out there.
Please.
Because I feel like if I go through my list of things, this is probably the thing that will be most controversial on the list.
Okay.
Because when I looked at this, like I'll give a few disclaimers here. So when I look back on 2020, and I think about the things that were produced this year that are my favorites, my criteria is different this year than
sure.
it ever has
yeah.
been.
Yeah.
Because it's not about what do I think is the best. It is about what are the things that brought me the most joy and comfort in a time in my life that I needed joy and comfort in a different way than I ever have before.
Okay, fair enough.
Right? Yeah. So it's like, so I understand as subjective as any of these lists could ever be, and as much as I don't have great taste in shit anyway, I could get poo-pooed for opinions. But this year, I am going to throw out the disclaimer that this is a different type of favorites. Because to me, the criteria, the end-all be-all criteria is what was a thing that offered me comfort.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
What was the thing that offered me comfort in a time that I needed comfort?
Okay, fair enough.
And the first thing on that list, Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah, I figured you'd go with something like that. Yeah, I know you like that. Yeah.
That was a really pleasant surprise for me, man.
I still haven't seen that.
Dude, it's totally worth it.
Right.
Like, and first of all, as a kid growing up in the 90s, like, I was the Sonic the Hedgehog generation, right? You know, like, your Mario was my Sonic.
Sure.
You know, like, that was the gap. So I just automatically have a certain sense of love for that character, even though his properties were never particularly story-driven.
Right, not at all.
It's still just like, I see Sonic, I feel good. Right? There's that kind of knee-jerk. He's comfort food.
Absolutely.
Right? But then I also take into fact that, like, they did such a shitty design, and then they actually listened to fans and did a redesign. I think they deserve props for that.
That's fair.
I think the fact that they took something that didn't really have a storyline and gave it one that wasn't utter nonsense. You know, like, I'm not going to be like, whoa, man, the writing on Sonic is right. Oscar-worthy.
Right.
Not at all.
Right.
But the fact that, like, it's a cohesive story that right. never once made me feel, like, lost or
like
cheapened.
You're watching Mario Brothers?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that alone is a feat.
Right.
Like, making a story that's not a shit story.
Absolutely.
Making a story that just passes.
Right.
A C-minus story is more than I think any of us could have expected from Sonic. And when we got a C story, it was like, wow, good on you guys.
Sure.
Ben Schwartz as the voice of Sonic, fucking awesome. Perfect casting. The ageless James Marsden,
yes,
who somehow looks exactly like he did when he was Cyclops 20 years ago.
Yes.
And can, like, his character in Sonic has got to be like a guy in his mid-30s. And that dude's got to be 50.
I would think so, yeah.
Right?
I'm sure. Yeah,
and, like, I buy him as a 35-year-old.
Absolutely.
Like, yeah. In every possible way. But then the real gem, Jim Carrey
yeah.
being the exact Jim Carrey I want.
Yeah.
Like, it's been a long time since I've seen Jim Carrey and been like, that's my Jim.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
You know, like, the performance was, it played to all of his strengths. It was funny. It was fun. It was weird. I never would have guessed when they announced him as Robotnik that it would have been as great as it was. Like,
sure.
His performance was incredible.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
excuse me.
It came out very early in the pandemic.
Yeah.
You know, like, it was in theaters. Like, it was released on Valentine's Day in theaters. So there was, like, it got, like, a full month theatrical before everything shut down.
Right.
But then they were one of the ones that was like, all right, we're just going to go straight to streaming now.
Right.
Like, so that was, like, one of the first things that I bought when, like, I felt like the world was falling down and I didn't know what to expect.
Right.
And I wasn't jaded and grizzled enough yet like I am now. To, like, I was like, yeah, this is totally worth $20 to me. And fuck, it was. And now you can rent it, I'm sure, for, like, $4.
Right.
And it's, but, like, I bought the motherfucker. And I've watched it probably 3 times.
Sure, yeah.
Like, that shit makes my, and, like, that's what I'm saying, is, like, that's my criteria. It's something that, like,
right.
it has to, I don't have anything on here that's, like, bad, you know, because, like, that, if it has glaring mistakes, I can't overlook that.
Right, I know what you mean.
But if you were a fine movie and you delivered for me in a time when I needed deliverance,
mm-hmm.
You get love on my list.
Movie-wise, I think the only two things that stuck out for me, Bill and Ted.
Yep, that's on my list.
It was a great, you know, I had fun with it. Gave me some of the emotions. I loved it. And I liked Fat Man.
I didn't get to see Fat Man.
I just recently saw it, so maybe it's still fresh on my brain. But nothing else popped in my head. Like, what great movie, or, you know, what was an enjoyable movie I sat down and watched? Nothing else. I didn't sit there and seek everything out. I just tried to sit there for a little while. I'm like, what mm-hmm. did I... What pops in my head? Those are the only two things that popped in my head that I enjoyed.
Yeah.
Movie-wise.
Well, that's I look at my list, and half of it is kids' movies.
Sure.
So you probably wouldn't have
seen
fallen
them.
In,
right.
you know, like,
yeah.
Sonic is a kids' movie.
Right, right.
Soul,
right.
which I recently talked about.
Yeah.
It's not a fucking kids' movie. I don't care what people say. That shit ain't a kids' movie.
Right.
But it was wonderful. I talked ad nauseum about that.
Yep.
And Onward. Would be
right.
the other kids' movie.
Right. Yeah.
And I think that, even I don't think Onward delivered as well as I wanted it to.
Mm-hmm.
I had super high expectations. I'd probably unreasonably, well, not unreasonably, because Pixar usually delivers in a very big way. And Onward I very much liked, but Onward is, like, the only Pixar movie since fucking Cars that I didn't love.
Oh, okay.
You know, like, Everything Pixar has done for the last 11 years, I've not just liked, I've fucking loved. And Onward, I liked.
Sure.
It was a cute kids movie.
Right.
It was a fun kids, which is, like, that should be all it has to be. You know, and, like, I think in the annals of time,
mm-hmm.
it will be remembered fondly as a good kids movie.
Sure.
You know, like it totally delivered on it. My kids had fun with it. I had fun with it.
Right.
It made me cry only a little.
Right.
And that's my problem with like Pixar needs to make me feel something deep.
Yeah.
Because they've set the bar too high for themselves.
Yeah.
Like, you don't get to give me Inside Out and then give me Cars.
Right.
You don't.
Right.
You don't get to give me Soul and then give me Onward. It's just not.
Yeah.
You're doing two different things to me.
That's
like
fair.
I've reached a point in my life that when I see Pixar attached to something,
maybe they're just not trying to get you as an audience, John.
But they are. And fuck, have you watched Up? Shit, the
I've
first
never really watched. I watched pieces of Up. Yeah.
Oh my god, the first 10 minutes of that movie will rip your heart out.
Yeah.
It's fucking insane, dude.
Yeah.
The first ten minutes of that movie. You have a loving couple learning they can't conceive a child, and then you have the wife dying.
Yeah.
Like, this is the opening montage of a kid's movie, bro.
I was raised on early Disney. Bambi's mom got shot, and the fucking credits were still playing. So, I'm used to moms dying early.
Sure.
On.
But that's still, like, that's still an animal.
Yeah. I think all the sitcoms when I was a kid, the mom or dad had died in some accident.
Sure.
And nine other
teenagers
were raising the kid. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. I forgot about that one. What was the
party of five?
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's just some teenagers.
That's right.
Just doing some
shit.
That's
right. I'm 17. I can take care of them all.
Like, Up is fucking heart-wrenching, dude. That entire movie.
Yeah.
Inside Out, that entire movie. Gets you fucking Soul, that entire movie fucking delivers.
Yeah.
Even the goddamn Toy Story movies,
quality
all the way through.
Absolutely. I love Toy Story movies.
And like Toy Story 1's the only one that doesn't make me cry still, and I have toddlers. Do you know how many times I've watched all four Toy Story movies? I've watched each of those movies probably fucking 25 times.
There's,
and 2 through 4 still make me tear up at least once.
There's that never no matter how many times I watch a movie that I know I'll get upset by, it still makes me upset.
Yeah.
Usually I start getting upset earlier because I'm anticipating it coming.
Right.
So now I'm like, oh, I'm getting upset. I'm getting up. And it's still 3 minutes down the road. And I'm already upset that the Hoosiers are going to win the big game.
Right.
Gene Hackman loves those guys.
The weirdest one is like movies that I know make me cry. I go in like knowing that they're going to. So then parts that didn't used to make me cry will. The one that I always think about. I think it was last summer. I was watching Field of Dreams.
Sure.
And like, Dad, you want to have a catch? Of course. Like, if that doesn't make you cry, are you an American son?
Niagara Falls, Frankie.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like, there's that moment, and I was so unprepared for how fucking hard I cried when Kid Moonlight Graham stepped off the field and sacrificed his dream to save the daughter.
Right.
That moment never hit me until like this year.
Right.
And like, I cried harder at that than at the end. And I was like, what's happening to me?
Yeah. I love that movie more than anything, but it's like one of those movies you watch now and you're like, no one knew the fucking Heimlich. This guy had to sacrifice everything for a fucking chunk of hot dog. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. You're better than that, James Earl Jones.
Right.
Quick pat in the back, you'd be fine. Ugh. Anyway,
I dropped a great Field of Dreams reference. So my buddy Steve, he's a huge baseball fan, and he and I are also just big movie, like, and we just have one of those relationships where it's like when it's your best friends,
sure,
you just kind of have a shorthand,
So
we were on a text thread with two of our other buddies, that was like our band in high school. So it was me, Steve, Travis, and Carl, and the starting line is doing live streams of all three of their albums.
Okay.
And that was a band that we loved when we were a band, was like the starting line was the band we wanted to be.
Right.
Like, so we were, if I had to pick a band that we were
emulating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I want to say like that we sounded like, but we weren't nearly as good, of course.
Yeah.
But that was like our goal.
Right.
Was the starting line. So they're doing these live streams and they are pressing each of the live streams to vinyl.
Oh.
And we have this text thread that's the four of us. And so I'd sent out a picture of it because it's like $75 for...
Oh, wow.
Because it's...
Oh, for the stream and the vinyl and everything?
Yeah. Well, you get all three... It's three different streams.
Oh,
three different streaming
that's,
events.
Oh, that's not bad then.
And then three different records that are both double LP,
right,
full live performances of all of their records. Yeah. And Steve was who I had just finished doing that freelance gig with. So I got some money that I wasn't anticipating. And I was going to use it for Christmas. But then like I saw that and I sent it to him. I was like, yeah, I just spent $75. Look at what the fucking starting line did. And Steve was like, well, what? He said, which record did you buy? Said, of course I bought. I spent $75 on all of them for its money that I had.
That's right.
And peace that I lacked.
That's right.
I gave it my immediate field of dreams.
That's right. That's fantastic. That's such a great movie. Yeah. I don't want to talk about it. I'll get upset.
Right.
Yeah, I had those two. Wonder Woman did nothing for me.
Yeah, I would agree. Wonder Woman did do something for me. It was fun.
It wasn't a bad. Yeah,
but it was the thing to me is its mistakes are too easily overlooked.
Yeah,
like that movie was fun, but legitimately by just cutting Pedro Pascal,
yeah,
that movie could have been awesome.
Yeah.
For just cutting one storyline that just bloated the movie and, like...
created more questions than anything
right,
else.
It created more questions than answers.
Yeah.
And more importantly, it distracted from Kristen Wiig's wonderful performance.
Yeah, agreed.
You know, like, Kristen Wiig and Chris Pine stole that movie for me. They were both incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I love Pedro Pascal, mm-hmm. and I think he was very charming and fun, but he got way too much movie when there were other people that deserved
agreed.
More movie.
Agreed. If I had to look into music, the only bright spot for me was probably Goldfinger's album.
Oh, see, I have a few good records for this year.
I wasn't too, I guess Jeff Rosenstock put a new album out earlier in the year. That was, mm-hmm. not, other than that, I haven't been overwhelmed by anything.
So I have some music, but I have one last movie.
Please. Oh, sorry. Yes.
That I don't think you've watched.
Okay.
And I think you fucking need, do you have Hulu?
I do.
Okay. You will love this. This is the only movie on my list that, like, is genuinely an awesome movie.
Yeah.
And somehow flew too far under the radar. Palm Springs.
I know of it, sure.
Yeah, starring Andy Samberg.
Yeah.
And Christina Milioti,
yeah.
I think is how you say your last name. Holy shit, is it? It's hilarious. Like, it's so, so, so funny. But also just, like... really wonderful, like just like a really strong story.
All right.
And very funny.
Okay.
Like, and it was one like I don't want to say any more about it because I want you to go into it how I did.
All right, fair enough.
Like it's something that Libby found and she legitimately just told me because like she didn't know. She's like, hey, this was probably May or June it came out. She's like, hey, this new movie just dropped on Hulu and it stars Christina Milioti and Andy Samberg, and it's called Palm Springs, and it's about them being at a wedding. And that was all I knew going into it. And then, like, 15 minutes into it, I was like, oh, this is a much different movie than I expected.
Okay, yeah.
But still totally a comedy. Like, very funny, very easy to watch.
Yeah.
But that is probably my favorite movie of 2020.
After you said that, I don't know if it's just the Andy Samberg that reminds me of it, but I just now wrote it down because I didn't pop my head before, but Hubie Halloween was fantastic.
Oh,
I forgot to write that
right.
down.
I should have written
that was just
down
like,
too.
I think it was because it was just about a Halloween, so it was kind of a special mm-hmm. more than, but whatever, but that pops in my head now. I'm like, yeah, that was fun. That was a great little
right.
time.
Right. It was a movie that brought me comfort
Absolutely.
When I needed comfort.
Yep.
It's fucking cheap laughs.
Right.
It's not a great movie.
No.
But it is exactly what I want it
right.
to be.
Right. Yep.
You know, like, when it opens with Ben Stiller being the same character from Happy Gilmore,
orderly,
I'm like, oh, okay. I know what I'm here for.
That's right.
So, all right. So, if we got music.
Yes, go ahead.
I don't have a ton of music, so I guess I rephrase it. But I got music that I really, really loved. And one that blew my mind that it was a 2020 release. Because this seems like both the
Forever
longest
ago.
And shortest year ever.
Yeah.
But in late January or early February, is one of the two, this band called Spanish Love Songs that I really, really love. And I actually got to see them live for the first time in 2020 because they'd never come to St. Louis. They opened for the Wonder Years, the last show that I ever saw. March 19th, I think it was.
The week before everything shut down?
Yeah. It's the last show that ever happened at the Ready Room.
Oh, wow.
It was the last. They canceled their tour after that, and the Ready Room closed its doors for good after that. And me and Gibson went and saw him rip it up. And we went for the Wonder Years and Spanish Love Songs. They released a record called Brave Faces, Everyone. It's the perfect album for 2020, and it came out before 2020 really 2020'd.
Okay.
It is so fucking good. Oh, my. I cannot speak highly enough about this record. It's it's kind of old sad bastard music. My God. It just speaks to me in ways that I shudder to even express.
All right.
There's a band called Hot Mulligan that released a record called You'll Be Fine. That's what I had on when you had popped in today.
Okay.
It's very much just a good pop punk record.
Okay.
And it hit, again, it hit at the right time. Like, it was a bit, my buddy Harry is a photographer. And when, like, quarantine was first starting up, he was doing the porch portraits. He ended up partnering with Stag and releasing, like, a book and shit of them. But he had called me up. He was like, hey, man, can I come by and do, like, a family portrait of you guys out on your porch? So I was like, oh, fuck yeah. So he pulls up to do this portrait. And, you know, this is probably late March, early April. And he's blasting that record. So he pulls up, and I was like, holy shit, dude, what are you listening to? That sounds fucking awesome. And he puts me on it, and it was like, within an hour of first hearing them, I had the vinyl on its way. Like, it's just such a great pop punk record. Nice. Like, it's fun the way it needs to be. It feels like fucking summertime. And again, in a time in my life when I really needed something to just be joyful, it fucking delivers, man. Yeah.
Nice.
And then the other thing I got on my list, a more recent one, Laura Jane Grace, lead singer of Against Me, released a solo record called Stay Alive. It makes me cry. It haunts me. It's beautiful. It's all right. Wonderful. It is everything I want. I was not ready for how much I loved it. It's like, it's super stripped down. It's very simple. Like, it's not, you know, it's not like this life-changing orchestration or anything. Sure. It's very much just like a person in their apartment recording music.
Right.
So it's not like, it's not a feat, but I just love the way that she writes. I've always been a huge Against Me fan. I've also always loved her solo stuff. And this one just felt it in my core. It was another, just like Brave Faces, Everywhere. Like, those two records just spoke to me in a time that I needed to be spoken to that way.
Okay. Like it.
That were fucking killer.
Awesome. I got nothing else.
Oh, man.
I music was, you know, I watched a bunch of streams, and I enjoyed that kind of stuff, but as far as putting out new material, I just didn't find anything that really...
Yeah.
Like I said, the Goldfinger thing I enjoyed kind of brought me back to, it's very 90s Scottish.
Yeah.
But other than that, man, you know.
What streams did you watch this year that you really liked? What were some streams
points for you? Pretty much every time Dan Potus did a live stream, I was watching that.
Yeah.
I mean, so he did, you know, sometimes he did 4 a week, sometimes he did, you know, 2 a month kind of thing. It just was all over the place. But he was doing new stuff with Jeff Rosenstock too, so, yeah. You know. But and then I watched Mike, what's his name?
Mike Herrera.
Herrera from MXPX. I enjoyed a couple of his. this country guy I like, Hayes Carl. He would do some live streams here and there on Facebook and stuff. I enjoyed those. I can't think of anything else. I didn't do any of the you know, a bunch of bands I loved did a bunch of live streams. You know, like paid for them. And I didn't buy any of them. I'm thinking about...
See, I did a few of those that were really cool.
Yeah, and I think I might do the 311's doing one where they're doing all their albums. You know, a live stream of every album. And if you... They're not doing, like, records, but let's say you pay for the live stream of the Blue album.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get a live stream for every other album, but you can watch the recorded version of every other live stream if you pay for a live one. You know what I mean?
Oh, cool.
You can pay for each live one live, but if you pay for a live one, at least you have access to all of them after that.
Oh,
so at least
that's cool.
Kind of nice. You know what I mean? So you can watch them all. You just can't watch them all live.
That's cool.
You can watch at least one live. So that's pretty cool. And I'm sure there's a deal where you could watch them all live. But I wish they were doing the fucking album thing. That'd be badass. Dude. But that cost my fortune, probably.
Oh, I'm sure.
But other than that, man, I just haven't been really going backwards a lot. Just older stuff, finding older stuff I wasn't aware of kind of shit. I didn't really do a lot of new music. You know, I was hopeful that when Billy Joe from Green Day was doing stuff, it was going to be good, but I was not impressed with anything he did. I don't know. It kind of made me upset. I'm like, ooh, is he just a straight studio guy now? Like, he needs the tricks into the studio? I don't know. But then again, he's, you know, it's anyway. I don't know. I just wasn't over. Yeah, I was kind of bummed.
I ended up getting really into the live stream thing. Just because, like, I'm the type of person that's at a club show twice a month.
Right.
At least.
Right.
So the live stream definitely didn't replace that. But it's a really cool, different version of something that I already loved.
Yeah.
So, like, one that I go back to that's really cool, the Wonder Years did one. They always do, like, a big Halloween show. And they did, for Halloween this year, and, like, part of their Halloween show is they always do a cover set where they'll, like, dress as a band and do their shit. But they only do it, like, one night in Philly where they're from,
right,
and they'll do a set as them and a cover set, and this year as a 6-piece band they split into 2 3-pieces, and each 3-piece band did a set as Blink.
Oh, cool.
And then they came together and did a live stream of their shit, so it was like, and it was $15, but it was like fucking 2.5 hours.
Right, that's well worth it.
And they released 2 new tracks that I really, really love. Also tracks that just hit me so fucking right. This track they put out called Breakless, it cuts to my core. It's so good. But then, like, Newfound Glory did a couple that I want. Like, the first one they did was awesome. They did one that I actually just streamed from my phone while I was driving to Springfield.
Yeah.
It was 3 hours long because they did... it was their first live stream of the whole thing, and they did fucking 45 songs.
Oh, wow.
That was how they advertised it. Damn. It was like $15 for 45 songs.
That's a deal.
Like, that's a serious... Oh, it was a 3-hour set.
Yeah.
Which was crazy. And then...
Especially for a punk pop band. That's, right. You know what I mean?
And then later in the year, they did, since this is the 20th anniversary of their self-titled record, mm-hmm. that was like really what put them on the map... they did a vinyl reissue of that record, first time ever on vinyl, and then they did a live stream playing that record front to back, and then followed it up with a set of greatest hits.
That's cool.
And then just recently they did another live stream that was like a Christmas special.
Yeah.
Where they wrote and recorded 10 new original Christmas songs, but then also put it together like a Christmas special. So they like cut in games and sketches and baking. Like, it's like it was like watching a Christmas special on TV.
Right.
It's like they killed the live stream game. Every Time I Die did a fucking awesome live stream right around Christmas time too, that me and Gibson absolute like went crazy on. The Starting Line one that I've been watching, like they only did the first record so far, and then the next one is happening. Like they did Direction December 30th, and then this coming Friday, they're doing Based on a True Story. And then 2 Fridays after that, they're doing like they're kind of like a greatest hits one.
Okay.
But I've gotten into the live stream thing. And it doesn't replace the live show experience. Never. By any means.
Right.
But it's been a cool, different thing. Me and Gibson did the Goldfinger live stream.
Right.
That was the only one that kind of disappointed me.
That's what
actually.
You said. I remember saying that.
I was a little...
It was pretty quick. You said like 40 minutes?
Yeah. And it was like... It was 40 minutes, and they just played the hits.
Right.
And it would be the type of thing that, like, if I was at the pageant seeing that, I would have been totally satisfied.
Sure, yeah.
But, like, you want me to pay $15 to sit in my room, and you're not going to give me more, like...
I agree.
Yeah, like I said, like, all these other bands, like, fuck, NFG's going to give me a 45-song set.
Right.
The Wonder Years is going to give me 2 Blink sets and a Wonder Years set.
That's right.
Like... These other bands are going to give me a full album of theirs that is an iconic album,
right,
playing songs live together that they probably never have played live together.
Right.
Like, You gotta give me something.
I agree.
You can't get on stage at the Roxy and record a 45-minute set of just your greatest hits.
I agree.
That shit's not worth $15 to me.
Nope.
And I hate that I was disappointed by it. Like, because again, it's exactly what they would have done in person, and I would have loved it.
Right.
So I don't necessarily fault them. It's not like they, I mean, they sounded great. They played all the songs you really want to hear. Like, it was totally cool. But it just wasn't worth charging for a live stream for.
Right, right.
I've watched plenty of live streams, and every one of them has been worth it. Every one of them has been a unique experience that I wouldn't have gotten live. And that's worth a couple bucks to me.
I agree with you.
But, like, just giving me your regular set?
It's weak. I think it's a weak, yeah.
Yeah, I think I think it was a bit of a...
I'm with you.
Yeah, it was a bit of a coward's way out.
Yeah,
I feel like. A bit of a money grab.
A little money grab, I agree. That's a bummer. Music, I got nothing else. I mean, if we're going to talk, you got any more music?
I've got no more music.
Like I say, if we're going to talk TV shows, there's Mandalorian and then we stop, right? I mean.
There was a couple things that I liked.
Was there?
But nothing that I liked as Mando.
Cobra Kai, and then we can stop. But technically, Cobra Kai came out this year, man. That's right. So fuck that. It says Mandalorian. I got nothing else. Done. Next.
Oh, man. Mandalorian was the end all be all. Mandalorian was perfect in every way.
Right.
And man, we're only 1 week away from WandaVision. Yeah. Like, what I keep thinking about is for the rest of 2021, we are going to have a piece of episodic television to talk about every week.
Pretty much every week.
That is genre.
Yeah.
Like, because it will be Marvel every week
until
it's Book of Boba.
Right.
Throw into that whatever other cool shit happens to happen
this
year.
Exactly.
That is episodic.
Yep.
Because.
Well, good, because it was a bit of a bitch the last few months to come up with topic ideas sometimes.
Right.
Fucking do something for me, goddammit.
Well, one thing that I very much enjoyed 2020 television-wise, Lovecraft Country.
I didn't watch it. Yeah, I haven't watched that.
You want to watch
it,
man.
That's what you said. Yeah.
It's fucking weird.
Yeah.
It's super weird. It's kind of... So, like, what do you know about Lovecraft Country?
Zero.
All right, so I'll give you just the basis. This doesn't spoil anything.
Right.
This is just kind of the background.
Yeah, other than what you've told me previously. But yeah, that's all I know.
So
yeah.
Like, you know, H.P. Lovecraft, who basically invented the modern sci-fi horror genre in the, you know, 20s, 30s, 40s, was a master of that genre. Also, real big racist.
Okay.
Dude hated people of color.
Okay.
So, like, 10 years ago, I think, is about how old the book is. Someone wrote a book called Lovecraft Country, and it uses all of the, like, Lovecraftian tropes and all of the stuff that he did well, but then put it through the lens of telling black stories that way. So it's basically like, I want to take all of the things that I love about you, but I want to reclaim the things that are important to me.
Okay.
Because, like, being a fan of color, that's got to be tough to remedy that. Because, like, not that H.P. Lovecraft's books
were
expressed as racist things, but it's got to be hard to be like, man, I really care about this art, but I can't separate it from the artist.
Sure. Yeah.
So then that author writes this book called Lovecraft Country that's very much as if Lovecraft wrote a book, but it's directly related to race.
Okay.
So then this show is the same thing. It takes place in the 50s in the height of the civil rights movement, and it follows this black family, but also, and the story is about magic and monsters and all of this very sci-fi horror shit.
Sure.
But told through the lens of a black family in the 50s experiencing very direct, overt racism, you know, like, right now, yeah, racism's not dead, but it's a lot sneakier than it once was. When you're talking the 50s, like, it's that super overt racism. Yeah.
There's no question about...
Right. Like, there's no hiding behind
motivations.
Does this
guy not like me for my race? I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. So it's like Lovecraft Country as a story is really cool because you get this, like, this really powerful commentary on race, but you also just get, like, really cool, weird
sci-fi
magic
thing.
And horror.
Nice. Okay.
Like, and it's a lot more horror than I expected. Like, there's a couple episodes that are just fucking scary, man. Like, straight up horror shows. But I was very pleased with it.
All right.
And it also introduced me to Jonathan Majors, who's going to play Kang the Conqueror. And, like, after watching that, I'm like, fuck yeah. I want to see more of that dude in everything.
Sure.
But especially in genre shit.
Like, sure.
He was awesome as the lead of this show. Like, when he was the lead, I was like, how the fuck do I not know this guy? How is he not everywhere? Because he was awesome in it. And he's, like, a badass.
Right.
So now they're like, ooh, you get to see him as the villain that's going to be, you know, he's the next fucking Loki. He's going to show up a bunch.
Right.
And I am here for it.
Nice. Like, I like it.
Give me more Jonathan Majors all the fucking time.
I like it.
And then the other thing that came on TV, like, it wasn't really a show, but it was a TV event. Did you watch Long Gone Summer?
I didn't.
So good.
Can't even say I know of it.
So it's ESPN 30 for 30.
Yeah.
That was about the home run race in 98.
I know. I didn't see it, but I know what you're
talking
about.
Oh, it was so wonderful, man.
Oh, nice.
It made me, like, as a kid in St. Louis during that.
Yeah.
You know, I was 11, 10. It was, yeah. I turned 11 that year. But yeah, I was like 10 years old and completely enamored by Maguire v. Sosa, as I'm sure you were at 20.
Absolutely.
You know, like, it was, the whole world was captivated.
Oh, I had season tickets that year. I was at almost every game. It was fantastic. Yep. I was at the game when he broke the record. I was there.
Fuck
yes. Yeah, it's great.
But, like, yeah, watching it play out in long form and documentary style.
Cool. Yeah.
So worth a watch, man. Yep. I was so delighted by it. And it also, like, it's also cool because, you know, like I said, I experienced it as a 10-year-old, so I was, like, captivated by it. But I didn't understand it a ton. Totally. You know, like, there was so much more nuance that, like, that was just lost on me. That now when I watch it and it's, like, put concise like that, I'm like, yeah, fuck. Right.
Yep. Yep.
Now I get why the whole world was captivated by it.
Right.
You know, like, it's one thing to be, like, a Cardinals fan. Of course you're going to be captivated by it.
Right.
But, like, the whole fucking world, not just baseball fans, not just Americans, literally the world was tuned into that.
Right.
And that's fucking wild to think, like, St. Louis was in the center of that.
It is, constantly. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy. It's pretty crazy.
So it was real neat, man. You want
to
watch that.
Yeah, I need to watch that. I meant to watch, you know, The Last Dance, the Jordan thing. Everybody talks about it, loves it, and it's just, I look at it because it looks so overwhelming. It's like 10 hours. I'm like, fuck, I got to put 10 hours. You know, which doesn't seem like a lot in the end because I've watched, 400 Marvel movies.
That, right.
You know, I mean, I've invested years into that kind of stuff. But, 10 hours for Jordan? You know, which I just need to sit down and watch it. I just haven't done it. I just didn't. I'm not going to lie. I started doing this list and it upset me.
Yeah.
I'm like, what did I do this year? I just watched a bunch of reruns and bullshit and just fucked around YouTube.
Yeah.
I played Red Dead Redemption a little longer than I should have. That's about it.
Dude, so speaking of TV, that is something.
Mm-hmm.
This is not 2020, but this is something that both of us experienced in 2020 and have not talked about on this show somehow. Fucking Titans.
This is true. I don't know why we haven't. Yeah. I think I talked about it.
I have two episodes left.
Yeah.
So I haven't quite finished season two.
Yeah. I enjoyed Titans, but it also feels like a student project that halfway through got some financing. And I don't know. It's just a casting is weird in some choices. Other casting is amazing.
Exactly.
That's why I'm like, who did the casting? Because they nailed 90% of it, and then there's a chunk of it's like, I don't know, it's just off.
I've had a ton of fun watching it.
Yeah.
Because I can take it for what
like,
it is.
Like, one scene, CGI is like, oh, that's, like, Lucasfilm quality. Mm-hmm. The next scene is, are they, like,
did
on a Mighty Python set with the walls? I mean, this looks terrible, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, soap opera-ish sometimes.
Oh, super soap opera-ish.
Yeah.
And, like, just rated R for the sake of being rated R.
That's right.
Like a lot
no
of
other reason, yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, like, sometimes saying fuck makes sense.
Right.
There are a lot of times you could tell, like, oh, they just did it because they want to be edgy.
Right.
Like, that's a really weird place for someone like, to say.
If we don't use our 10 fucks, they'll only give us 8 fucks next season. So we got to use them all.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Just like moments where it's like, I can't even think of one off the top of my head.
It's just forced. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Like in the opening episode when Robin says, fuck Batman.
That's still sweet. Like, though. But that's a pull in right
it's
there.
It's sweet,
that's,
but it's such a gimmick.
It is.
Like, it's a little bit jarring of like.
That's one of those scenes that, like, they just shot that for the trailer. Like, that's a trailer scene, 100%. Didn't need to be in the show. Didn't have any effect on anything, period. Wouldn't change your opinion of the character. It was just for a trailer, and they kept it in the show.
And I think the casting of Dick Grayson was good casting, but it's, so, like, that actor reminds me so much of Grant Gustin.
Agreed.
That, like, it's so close that I almost just want him to be Grant Gustin.
Right, I know what you mean.
It just makes me feel like, man, this feels weird.
Yep. At least I'm hoping now that he's... Well, you're not done. Never mind. I went back and forth on the Jason Todd.
Yeah.
Because he's supposed to be a douche.
Right.
And he's really good at it.
Yeah. You hate him, but you're supposed to hate him. I totally get what you're saying.
I always do this. Like,
I can't tell if it's bad casting or if it's like... This dude's
great.
Right. This dude's really good at... I can't tell if it's bad casting or bad directing.
Correct. Correct. I don't care for the tiger dude. He just doesn't seem to offer anything.
Yeah.
He's kind of...
He's
like,
whatever.
He's like the guy in the chair. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He should just be that. I don't know. Anyways.
Yeah. But I think there's... I think if they do move forward, there's an interesting dynamic between him and Raven that
agreed.
I think he could become a much cooler character.
I agree. But there's been a very slow build.
Yes.
It's just, he did nothing basically for the second season.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not giving anything away, but he just really, I mean, he was in it and he was involved, but it just, anyways.
I'm real done with both Hawk and Dove.
Yeah, I'm kind of over it. I think that would have been a fine, that's like, you know, when they turned, what's the, not Guardians of the Galaxy, but the DC version.
Doom Patrol.
No, it's the TV show off Arrowverse. That's what I'm thinking of.
Legends of Tomorrow.
It's basically taking Legends and making, you know, a show out. I'm like, I don't need more of that. I get their backstory.
Well,
it's sad.
Like, I just don't think, they add enough value to warrant weekly participation.
True. Right?
Like, there has been the episodes that, like, focus on them.
Yeah.
I think are cool. Right. And I think they're worth telling, and I think they're worthwhile characters.
Sure.
But I just don't
need to be
want
in every
them
episode.
To be there anymore.
Is that me buzzing?
Like, yeah, well, we'll probably do for a break.
All right, let's take a quick break.
Hey, man, it's me, Kevin Smith. Check out alteredstatecomics.com right now. I will wait. But while I'm waiting, I'm going to also tell you, go check out the Altered State podcast, man. They come straight out of St. Louis, Brandon and John, and they are there for all your pop culture needs. They're very orally accented, is what I'm saying, ladies and dudes. So there you go, man. AlteredStateComics.com. It's right there in the name.
All right, we're back.
All right, we're back. I'm not done with Titans.
Yeah, we had a mic.
Little mic.
I was going to say, that was a weird break.
It was an awkward break. Break between topics. So we were talking about casting. We enjoyed some of the casting. I think we probably both agree. Maybe the worst casting in DC history was Bruce Wayne.
100%. So fucking
I loved
weird.
That guy in Game of Thrones. He was great. But the worst Bruce Wayne of
so
all time.
Weird.
Yes.
Just so out of place.
Especially old Bruce Wayne. Like, he was just a...
Yeah.
He looked like a skinny old man. He's not going to fight anybody. I mean, it's just... He didn't have to be Jack Boomy, but he just was not.
He was not the choice that... It just didn't make sense.
No sense.
And still does. I'm almost done with season 2. I have 2 episodes left. So season 2 features him pretty prominently. And I think to this point, I'm assuming I've gotten past his appearances in it.
I'm not 100%, but I think so.
I have 2 episodes left, but I
think
I feel like the last time I saw Bruce Wayne was a logical last time to see Bruce Wayne.
Okay.
In my possibly. Head, at least. Unless they surprised me with something.
Right.
And, like, every time I saw him, I was just like, it just never worked.
No. No.
And it then makes me feel weird. Like,
he's Captain Gordon. He's not Bruce Wayne.
Right.
You know what I mean?
He's, and I haven't seen any, like, they have not had him and Jason Todd share a scene together.
Right.
But I don't want to.
No.
Like, thinking of that Jason Todd as that Bruce Wayne's Robin.
Right.
Feels
no wonder he's a
to
douche.
Me.
No wonder that guy's a douche, because that's his Bruce Wayne.
Yeah. It feels real weird and yucky to me.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say about Jason Todd. It's like, I hate him, but you're supposed to kind of hate him.
Yeah.
Which always
he's
brings me back.
To be a fucking weasel.
Because of who I am. Brings me back to wrestling and how much you hate
the
bad
heel.
Guy.
He's the heel.
But he's supposed to make you. So when I was a kid, I fucking hated Roddy Piper. Fuck you. Because he's going against Hulk Hogan.
And then you watch They Live.
Oh my God, right? Oh, then he's the best thing of all time. But I look back at it now and I'm like, oh, he made me hate him so much. He's so good. He's so
That's
good.
A pro.
Like a Ric
That's
Flair.
A pro.
You fucking hate Ric Flair, but everybody loves Ric Flair. But he's the bad guy.
Because he knows what he's... The Rock.
Yes. Yes.
The Rock was a heel,
The Rock
man.
Was a dick through almost his whole wrestling career as a heel, but well...
And now he's...
The 90s were that weird time where the bad guys were cool. Like the NWO and DX, you know, the anti-establishment guys were the cool thing, but...
It was a real Gen X thing to
very
do.
Very Gen X, yeah. Yeah. That's why it's so good. it still worked today. By the wrestling last Wednesday, I don't think I brought it up. No, I'm pretty sure it was last Wednesday. Little AEW, you know, so you got the Young Bucks and then the Chris Jericho stuff. Who should show up but Snoop D-O-double-G?
Oh my God.
Who's probably pushing 60, right?
Yeah.
Climbs the top rope. Big splash off the top. It was the most awkward thing ever.
No way.
I thought he was going to break all his little skinny arms and legs. I mean, it was terrible to watch, but...
Yeah, I mean, he's got to be 60, right?
Got to be pushing 60. Got to be.
You see Dre was in the hospital?
I did.
Speaking of NWA folk?
I meant to get some update on that, but I haven't checked any updates recently, so I'm assuming everything's cool.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It was kind of weird. It kind of talked about it, and then it was gone. Like, they don't really update or anything like that, so I'm not sure if that's good or bad.
Yeah.
Did they say what happened? I even forget what happened.
It was a brain aneurysm.
Is that what it was? That's what I thought.
But Titans.
Sorry. I'm sorry. Yes. My bad. My bad. I always go back to wrestling. My bad.
Yeah. It's been a fun ride.
It is. I enjoy that it's a thing that's out there.
Yeah. I'm happy that it's happening.
I love, you know, anytime they're going to do a grittier version of the DC universe, other than they've done that with Batman and it's worked. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it takes a couple things to figure out what the grittiness can be and how gritty to go. And
oh, and I also think, like, I think there is the fact that the first two seasons were made for the DCU app.
Right.
Which was, like, its own weird thing. Well, it was its own weird thing. Like, how much money do you actually put behind it and how much value do you put into it? And what's your audience? Because now you're not trying to make something with any sort of mass appeal. You were trying to target the specific person that's willing to spend $15 a month strictly on DCU, which has been notoriously bad. And like, so your target audience is very, very specific and weird for the first two seasons of that show. And I think now that it is an HBO Max product, I think season three is going to be a real make or break for it.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like, I think the choices that they make now, both financially and story wise, will be targeted to a different audience and it will either get better or it will die.
Yep. Agreed.
But were you completely taken off guard by the season one finale?
Remind me again, what was it?
So it's so fucking weird. The season one finale just didn't feel like a finale. Like, they just didn't finish the story, and it's not like a cliffhanger, because then season two episode one was like what should have been the finale.
Was that when he fell out of the window?
So like in season one it ends with Trigon finally coming out of the mirror and turns Dick Grayson bad,
right? Okay Yeah.
And then episode one starts with the rest of the Titans go bad.
Right.
Trigon's getting ready to leave. Raven defeats him.
Right.
So the villain of season one
still shows up in the first episode.
But only in the first half of that episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like they did everything to pay off on that story, and then it just feels like they ended it an episode early.
Yeah.
And it's weird because that season's 11 episodes and the second season is 13.
Oh,
like they should have each been 12 episodes.
Right. Yeah.
And I like even while I was watching it, I was just like, wait, what's it? And then episode or season two, episode one just feels like a weird fucking Frankenstein of an episode
yeah.
where like
yeah.
the first half of it is finishing season one and then the second half of it is a total launch off to a new adventure.
Right.
And it's just like,
yeah, it doesn't, I feel like they wrap it up in like 20 minutes and then it's like 2 years later kind of thing. And
well, it's like they wrap it up in like about 30 minutes, about mm-hmm. half of it. And when they wrap it up, you think, oh, that was a short episode. And then they start what is essentially another 30-minute episode.
Right.
And but it's all just fucking weird. That it's like it didn't
little mishmash together.
Did not make sense to me from a production standpoint. What went into that decision making?
Maybe end of season one is when the DCU app ran out of money.
Yeah, and like then, you know. It was so weird to me. Like it just completely took me off guard.
I'd have to go back and kind of, I remember what you're talking about, but I'd have to go back and rewatch it for specifics.
Yeah,
but,
I would encourage you to, just as an exercise in how to not tell a story. Because I was really upset by it.
Maybe
like
I
went upstairs and woke up Libby to talk to her about it.
Maybe they're just big Sopranos fans and just, hey, end it right there. Done.
Right. It's like, it wasn't even a cliffhanger. Like ending a season that way without satisfying the story. Like,
killing the big bad or anything. Right.
It was unforgivable. Like,
right.
Well, it wasn't unforgivable to
it's
me.
It's like Endgame ending because, when Thanos shows up.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not unforgivable to me because both seasons already existed and I got to just watch them back to back.
Right.
If I were watching that as it happened, I would not have watched season two.
Yeah.
Like if that were the ending and I had to wait 6 months, I would not have continued.
Yeah.
On principle,
I
would have been like, no, that's an unacceptable storytelling decision. You've completely lost me.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
But so fucking weird.
Very, very.
But it is cool having the HBO Max to see some of that stuff.
Yeah, I dig it.
Like, I've had fun with Titans, even though it's not a great show.
Right.
I haven't done season two of Doom Patrol yet, but
I think you'll enjoy that.
I want to. I really had fun with season one.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a good ride.
And I had a lot of fun with the Harley Quinn.
Season two will be even a little more out there.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's a little trippier, for lack of a better term.
I'm glad.
Yeah.
I think with that property, you need
you
to go
that. You
can do
it a lot trippier. Yeah.
Well, and I think you need to.
Yeah.
Because I think trying to make Doom Patrol like a serious superhero team up is a fool's errand.
Agreed.
Like I don't think you can get that there.
Yeah.
And I think if done better, you could make Titans that awesome team up show.
Sure.
You know, like with some better execution,
mm-hmm.
Titans could be that.
Yep.
Whereas Doom Patrol needs to be silly.
Yeah.
Like there is no grounding those characters.
Right. Right.
And if you accept that as a storyteller, that you don't want to ground them, you can make really compelling television.
Absolutely.
With them.
Absolutely.
As long as you understand the limitations of that team is like, I've got to be zany. I've got to be off the wall. Right. I can still tell emotional, stirring stories, but the grounding that show in silliness
is what you gotta do.
Is essential.
Exactly. Yep. I think that with season two, they did that very well.
Good.
So I think you'll enjoy that.
I hope so.
You don't get as much Mr. Nobody, which is kind of a bummer, but it's still, you know, still involved.
Alan Tudyk is just
it's wonderful.
A treasure.
He is.
I love him and everything. And it seems like DC keeps going back to the Alan Tudyk well.
Why wouldn't you?
You know?
What else is working for you?
He's in Harley Quinn.
Right.
He's in Doom Patrol. He was in that short-lived Powerless show.
Sure.
Also with Ron Funches. That's They're right. going back to the Ron Funches That's well right. often.
I love me some Ron Funches.
Yeah.
Did you watch, I forget the name of the show, but it was basically one of those surveillance camera YouTube clip type shows. It's Ron Funches, it's Brian Posehn, and it's a female comedian. I'm not aware who she was. I forget. It's on like True TV or something. It's new. It came out this year.
No.
But the premise is they like work for the NSA in the basement, and they have all these videos they have to go through to look, but it's just them commenting on stupid videos. And it's usually fucking hilarious.
Well, I mean, you're talking about Posehn and Funches.
Posehn and Funches, just, you know, it's just guys, you know, it's America's Funniest Home Videos, guys taking it in the nuts, but it's, you know, Tosh.0 style, basically, right, kind of thing.
Well, it's America's Funniest Home Videos meets Mystery Science Theater 3000.
That's exactly kind of what it is, yes. Yes.
I'm here for that.
Yeah.
I co-sign that.
I feel like I've only seen 4 or 5 episodes. I don't know how many are out there, but I'll hunt it down here at the break and show you a clip. You'll get a kick out. I mean, just...
Yeah, I bet that's fun.
Just, you know Posehn and Funches are stoned just watching videos, so...
Right.
Come on. Put a camera there, make some money.
Fuck yeah.
That's basically what happened.
I'm here for that.
Yeah. I don't know how I got into that.
Yeah.
I don't know where that came from, but there you go.
Oh, how Ron Funches and Alan Tudyk. Oh, there DC you go. Keeps going back to the well.
There you go.
The one thing that I'm glad that Swamp Thing got more of a life on CW after the DCU app, but I'm bummed that it's not on HBO Max.
I was surprised it's not.
Well, it has to be because they signed a deal with CW.
I'm sure,
to some degree.
Yeah, but you would think CW is not going to put that kind of money into doing another season. So,
well, that's what I'm wondering. They might.
You think?
What I would assume happened is DCU app already made it. Berlanti is behind all of that stuff, just like he's behind all the CW stuff. So there's already a relationship there. Mm-hmm. Then COVID happened, so there wasn't programming to put on in fall. And I think Swamp Thing was, of all of the DCU properties, I think it's the only one you could make not rated R without losing quality. Like, they have to blur a few fucks.
Yeah.
But they clearly didn't go as far as Doom Patrol or or Titans did.
Right. Or Harley Quinn. Yeah.
So it's like they could take that and not lose a bunch of quality by blurring out some fuck words.
Right.
And then I also think Swamp Thing is the most
self-contained.
Self-contained, but also recognizable.
Sure. Oh yeah.
Character.
Yeah.
That I think that he was the only one that they were like, not only can we pull this off to get a season when we don't have one for fall, but also this is the only one that might be worth it to us to actually do a season of.
Sure. That makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah.
And I think HBO Max will hold off. I have to imagine there's some sort of optioning arrangement.
Sure.
For that. Sure. But I like Swamp Thing just fucking rules. So I just want to watch it again.
I have a couple random newer things.
Okay.
That I really want to get your opinion on. I'm curious if you've heard about this yet. Ready?
Yeah.
You were a big Southland Tales fan, right?
Oh, yes.
Have you heard this?
No.
Basically, the director's cut. 6-hour version.
Get the fuck out.
Richard Kelly is the director. Yes. He's doing a 6-hour version.
No, he's not.
It's like people are either going to, because they either love this or they think it's the worst thing I've ever done, they're going to fucking go crazy.
I can't wait.
I don't have a time frame, but
my God. I am so fucking excited that you just told me that. I will watch 10 hours of that.
I think it'll probably be like hour type. I don't know where it's coming out on, but he said it's happening. It's going on.
The Kelly cut, the Snyder cut of Southland Tales.
That's right. That's right.
Oh my God, that makes me so happy.
Yep. And I haven't seen it, so I couldn't even tell you what extra is going to be in it. But I saw that, I'm like, oh, he's got to know.
That makes me so happy, but that's got to make all of the stars of that movie so sad.
Possibly.
Like, right. The Rock, Dwayne Johnson doesn't want that to exist. Right. Justin Timberlake doesn't want that to exist.
Right.
Sarah Michelle Gellar does not want that to exist.
Yeah, yeah.
Sean William Scott probably does. He needs a win.
Yep. So yeah, I mean, I don't have anything other than that, but I'm like, he's got to know that.
Oh my God, that Brandon, you just made my week.
Good to know.
And what's been a real shit week?
There you go.
You just brought some joy into my life.
A gleam of light right there.
Can't wait to watch the 6-hour Kelly cut.
Right.
Of Southland Tales.
Nice. I'm glad to make you happy. That's what I'm here for.
Oh my God! We still gotta watch that.
I do.
It's something.
Yep.
it is definitely.
I was thinking that the other
something.
Day. I'm like, there's so many great movies that I've seen that I know you haven't seen, and vice versa. Like, we gotta start with one, like something along. We just gotta start doing that. even if it's totally separate podcast. I really think we should do something along those lines.
Yeah, man.
We could do this, and then afterwards just fucking watch a movie for an hour and 20 and bullshit about it. Wow. So.
Yeah, I can't wait to see your reaction to Southland Tales.
I'm in for that.
I'm in for that. It's just too weird and too... It's too bad that it's so great. Like, it's not great, but it's magnificent.
I'm with you. I know what you're saying.
I adore it.
I like it.
So fucking funny.
I have a couple random little tidbits and rumors and things like that. Nothing hardcore.
Okay.
But potentially cool shit.
All right.
So we talked previously that Indy 5 is happening.
Uh-huh.
You know, they've pretty much said they're not going to ever recast Harrison Ford Indiana Jones mm-hmm. role, but they want to do spinoffs.
Yeah.
One is an animated show. I don't know.
Okay.
So they could easily get a good voice actor. Not a big deal. They did it with, you know, Han Solo and no one seemed mm-hmm. to give a shit, stuff like that. But they also want, I wouldn't really say call it a young Indiana Jones, because it's not going to be young. It'd be more like 25, 30-year-old Indiana Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Pratt.
I've heard that.
You don't like that?
I couldn't remember
if we talked about it before or not, but
I don't hate it. And I think in a lot of ways it makes perfect sense. But I just got a bit of a bad taste in my mouth about Chris Pratt.
Really?
I do.
Hmm.
And I don't want to.
I think
since he's gotten successful, he's turned into a bit of a twat.
Yeah, I can kind of see that.
And
but so is Harrison Ford, so it kind of might work.
I don't like that I know that.
Well, that's fair.
Like, I don't want that. Like, he's turned into, like, a, you know, breaks up with Anna Faris. He joins a weird fucking Catholic cult.
Yeah.
He marries Schwarzenegger's daughter. Like, there's just something there that just sits funny with me when it's like, bro, you're Andy Dwyer.
Right. When I think of Chris Pratt.
He just sits weird with me.
When I think of Chris Pratt being Indiana Jones, early Chris Pratt is Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
I don't know if Chris Pratt now is Indiana Jones. Just because we've talked before about Indiana Jones is not ripped and cut and...
Yeah, he's not Star-Lord.
No. So he'd kind of have to get a little bit of the old body physique back. I don't know. I don't know what they're looking for, you know, but they're basically looking for, like, it seemed like a college, right out of college indie. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it could happen and be wonderful.
Sure.
And I don't, like, hate Chris Pratt by any means. I just got a weird taste in my mouth about him. Something about him puts me off right now.
Regardless, isn't just doing that a cop out to saying you're not recasting? You're recasting. I mean,
right.
Call it what you want. Call it a prequel. Call it whatever.
I want him recasted.
Sure.
There's so much other stories you can tell.
There's so many great stories you can tell with that.
Do you know how many black magic Nazi stories you can tell
Absolutely.
Me?
Absolutely. Right.
And I will watch them all.
Right. You could do good Hitler alien stuff. You don't have to do Crystal Skull alien stuff.
For
you know what I mean?
Sure. Give me all.
Hitler loved the occult stuff. You could do all kinds of shit.
Give me all of the weird Hitler occult.
Right. Right.
I want that.
Right.
And let a fucking haggard paleontologist be in all the peril.
Right.
To save somebody.
That's right.
Or the world from Nazi Germany and their black magic.
Yep. Yep.
And I will watch it every day.
If they make an animated show, $200 says they bring that monkey back from the first one and just have it as like a buddy. I mean, that's just what you do with that stuff, right?
Yeah, I think that's it. I think an animated show is an odd choice.
I do too, but I think you can do. But I also thought that originally when they started doing Star Wars animated stuff, I'm like, well, this is going to be weird. But
I think the difference is, like, Star Wars at the end of the day is kids' property.
Sure,
it's made for kids. Whereas like Indiana Jones isn't. It's not kid.
You say that,
it's not kid unfriendly.
Yeah,
but the target audience is not kids.
I would say it's still young adult.
Yeah, young adult, but not kids.
No.
Whereas, like, with Star Wars, you want another access point for kids in.
Yeah.
It makes sense to do that animated.
Yeah.
Well, Disney owns all of it now. Of course they want more kids. They're going to make a lot more kid-friendly indie stuff.
Right.
But I wish they wouldn't. But I like indie living where it is.
Yeah.
And I think you can do enough kid-friendly stuff with Star Wars that you don't need to keep going back to the well of Lucasfilm.
Agreed.
You know, agreed. Like, let indie be what it is, let Star Wars be what it is.
Right.
And Star Wars is for kids, and indie's for teenagers and young adults.
Little silly rabbit, indie's for kids type thing?
Yeah, right? Man.
Okay.
Yeah. Indie's for kids. Silly rabbit.
Random little thing here. And I can't say I saw this coming. Doesn't surprise me. And I don't know in what form or who they will have playing him.
Uh-huh.
But Han Solo is supposed to show up in Mandalorian. I don't know if that will help another Han Solo movie.
Eh.
I don't know that I care.
It's got to be Alden Ehrenreich. Well, no, it can't be. That'd be too late. It's post.
I'm not really sure where they're going with that.
Huh.
Yeah. But regardless, what I saw that got me to that. Do you know who they're talking to for Admiral Thrawn?
Enlighten me.
RDJ.
Really?
I don't know what to think about that.
I love that.
Might as well. You already got him, you know.
Big time.
I mean, he's going to work for Disney the rest of his life, but whatever.
I think if I were fan casting, I think my all-time number one choice would be Benedict Cumberbatch.
Sure.
He is very Thrawn to me.
I can see that. It's but the, I think the elongated face kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The kind of the very dour British attitude,
sure,
that I think is just kind of naturally there. He, that experience of him playing Sherlock.
Yeah.
Like, because RDJ was Sherlock too, but a different version. Like,
right.
I think there is, like, Thrawn has that air of knowing more than everybody in the room.
Yeah.
And I think Cumberbatch could.
RDJ would need some serious heels. That's about it. But yeah.
I think RDJ would do a great job. And again, he's been Sherlock as well. But
But not English.
Yeah. I like that.
I thought that was interesting. Yeah.
I like that choice.
Yeah.
And you know what's weird? Like, I think about this often. I remember, so like season one of Mandalorian, none of us knew what to expect, right? It was pretty much like, gee, who fucking knows? And you got Grogu, and it was wonderful,
right?
And then going into season two, I remember feeling like both excited and disappointed that I knew I was going to have Olyphant as Cobb Vanth. I knew I was going to have Temuera Morrison.
You didn't know that. We still weren't for sure what Olyphant was doing.
Yeah, but was pretty much
it was
there.
It was.
And it said he's wearing Boba Fett's armor.
True, yeah.
We knew we had Rosario as Ahsoka.
Of course.
And we knew we had Katee Sackhoff as Bo-Katan.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And none of it was confirmed. Like, it wasn't announced by Lucasfilm, but we knew.
Right.
And I was kind of disappointed that I knew. And I was like, man, I wish I could have been surprised by those things. But then they still had Thrawn and Luke fucking Skywalker.
Right.
So, like, with all of the leaks that they had, they still had the best shit in their back pocket.
Totally.
Which tells me now, like, when there's a leak, I'm like, oh, that's cool. But what are they not telling me?
I feel like they purposely leak things to distract, talk about that while
we're doing the
real
really
deal.
Good thing.
Right.
You know, like,
right.
Because out of that, like, Ahsoka and Bo-Katan and Boba Fett. And Boba Fett and Ahsoka got spinoff shows out of it.
Right.
And they certainly were wonderful, wonderful parts that I just adored. But, like, Thrawn is the most important part of that narrative. He's now the big bad of that universe, and you kept that a secret.
Right.
Luke fucking Skywalker is Luke fucking Skywalker.
Right.
And you kept that. Like, those two things matter so much more than the things that we knew about.
True, yeah.
And I say that as someone who loves Ahsoka and loves Boba Fett and loves Bo-Katan. Like,
right.
Those are all characters that I love, that I am interested in, that I was so happy to see. But, like, none of them are Luke Skywalker.
Or R2-D2, for that matter. R2-D2 fucking showed up.
You know, my God.
So, yeah.
My entire heart.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I'm with you. I when I heard that news, I can picture it. But then I couldn't picture it. Like, I kept going back and forth.
I can.
But I think it could work. I have faith in him to do pretty much anything.
Yeah. But I would be interested to, like, I feel like I usually see Robert Downey Jr. in a more eccentric place. Opposed to a really, like, calm and collected place.
Mm-hmm.
So it just seems like It's a version of RDJ that I just haven't seen.
Right.
I think he can totally pull it off.
Yeah. You know who I thought of, which won't happen because he's already in that universe as a different character, and I forget his name. He was in the, Vision. But he's in Solo.
Oh, Paul Bettany?
Yeah. I thought he would be. I could see him doing it too. But only because I think the similarities Cumberbatch.
Yeah. I think
for the same reasons.
I think he can certainly pull it off.
But he was already in it.
Yeah, he's Dryden Voss.
Right. So already. He's set.
Paul Bettany is a fucking gem.
He is. He is. I only had one little thing.
Okay.
And it's kind of random. You got anything else you want to get to?
I don't. Let's close it on this, sir.
Little Doctor Strange rumor.
Ooh.
Of course, it's all over the place, right? But he's going to be visiting who knows who.
Yeah.
Old Man Logan. That's how you find... That's the only way they're getting Wolverine or... what's his name?
Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman, Wolverine. He'll do Old Man Logan. He's not going to do anything really, probably,
right.
But
he'll show up as Old Man Logan.
Correct.
I'm here for that.
I am, but it's like I get this information and I'm like, that sounds awesome, but what's the fucking movie? Like, I'm down for all, like, you hear Spider-Man stuff, like, sounds awesome. He's in it. Great. What's the movie? What's happening?
Yeah, there's a lot going on there.
Because, you know, not that I don't love it, but you're also at the risk of all of a sudden being Hubie Halloween, and it's just a cameo fest.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Which I'm down for.
But
it's not going to be as funny.
Exactly. Well, I'm down for it in a stupid Adam Sandler movie on Netflix.
Right.
In the I'm Happy not Madison down universe. For it in a huge MCU movie in a movie theater.
Right.
Like, those are very different.
Right.
I carry very different expectations into those two things.
Absolutely.
You know, like,
absolutely.
I love Hubie Halloween, but I love it for what it is.
I was trying to think the other day, what could we find for Sandler in the MCU? There's got to be something out there, right? Something. Someone's had to approach him with something. Even if it's just like a one-off.
Oh, no one's approached him.
Come on.
Shit. No one's asking for Adam Sandler.
Every now and then, Sandler got in great shape. He can dig down.
Not
some
anymore.
Good shape.
He has no desire to at this point in his life or career. I think Adam Sandler, 20 years ago.
Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe. You find a spot for him.
Yeah.
Well, Adam Sandler 20 years ago was Chris Pratt.
True. Yeah. I don't have one. I'm asking more than anything.
It's Adam Sandler in the MCU. I'm going to think on that.
Yeah. I don't have an answer for you, but he's obviously not, you know, he's not a Riddler. He's not a, well, it's DC, but I mean, he's not a...
He's not a big bad.
He's not a big bad. He's
he's not a big hero either.
No. But I could see him...
There's a spot for him.
He doesn't have the look per se, but I could see him as a kingpin type. I could see that.
No, get the fuck out of here.
I could see that.
You're high.
Probably, but I could still see that.
Oh.
I could see it. I think it can happen.
I think there's room for him.
I think we need to start a petition online.
But I don't know what it is.
Sandler in the MCU. Even if it's... Just go all in and make it funny. Make him the Sandman.
That's DC.
I know. That's true. God damn it. No, wait. There's a Sandman in Spider-Man.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
That's not DC.
Yeah.
Clayface is DC.
Yeah, Clayface.
That's fuck
right.
Me.
That's right. Back in the game.
Yeah.
Sandler's
back
in.
Back in the game, baby. Oh, shit.
I don't know. I just want him to do well.
Yeah.
I just want
my boy to succeed.
I know he's probably hurting.
Right.
Because he just signed
all
another,
that Netflix money.
Yeah, he probably signed another like 6-picture deal with Netflix.
All that Netflix money. Really,
I love how like all the interviews he gives, now he just says, I'm going to make the worst movie I could possibly make. And then it's, you know, the biggest thing on Netflix for 2 months. And
yeah.
He doesn't give a fuck, man.
No, he's having fun.
He's having great fun. That's got to be a great
feeling.
I'm
having fun watching him have fun.
Yep.
Oh, shit.
Yep. That's all I got today, man.
That's all we need.
Sandman.
It's been fun.
Sandman. Take care.